I want to begin this morning by telling everyone how beautiful the singing is. I attribute that to the fact that we, as the members here, have been working on our singing, but we have some visitors with us as well, and it was truly tempting to stop and listen, but that wouldn't have been appropriate as I was leading the songs. Why do people believe what they do? As you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, we're going to contemplate that question this morning. And the passage that we're about to read tells us that there are those of different opinions and beliefs. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, there's been a lot of controversy over who wrote the book of Hebrews. I personally don't have a problem with my understanding of who wrote the book of Hebrews. The Holy Spirit wrote it. Now, who penned it? That's up in the air. But I strongly believe that the Apostle Paul could possibly have done so. But notice the words that are used, but we are not of them that draw back into perdition. He's writing to Christians. And the contrast is given, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. This passage also reveals that those beliefs, albeit differing between people, if followed, will determine where we will spend eternity. Draw back into perdition means everlasting punishment. Now, I ask you this morning, we don't want to be of that number, do we? I don't. No doubt as you traveled to the building this morning or traveled about to and from work throughout the week, you passed multiple church buildings. Have you ever asked yourself why there are so many church buildings? Well, the answer is pretty simple. It's because folks believe many different things. However, as we travel about and we see these church buildings, we pass them day in and day out, it may have caused us to ask another question. And that question is the title of the sermon this morning. Why do people believe what they do? I won't pretend that this morning we're going to cover every reason why someone might believe something, because I don't think I can hold out that long. And I don't think you would appreciate it if I did. But we want to touch base on a few things that have caused people to believe different things. People believe what they do due to popularity. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, we're going to see a passage from the Old Testament that puts forth an idea that was put into the mind of the children of Israel. An idea which is also conveyed to us. And we look at this idea of popularity and we ask ourselves the question, what does it mean to be popular? Just this week, I have had conversations, sad conversations, with people who at one time would claim to be a member of the Lord's church. And during those conversations, or some of those conversations, one said to me, well, I really like it over here. I'm going to X church. And why do you like it over there? Well, we have this and we have that. We have this program, we have that program. And really, it's uplifting. And the response was, do they teach the truth? Well, enough of it is one of the answers I got. It's sad. But popularity can cause people to believe things. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to risk judgment. We're not to follow things because they're popular, because they're fun, because they look good. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Look at this fruit. Isn't it good to the eyes? Do we see the problem here? We don't want to follow that same situation. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 is another passage where our Lord was speaking. And he was talking about the gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way. And as he was talking to those people, he shows how that there are going to be many who are going to follow that which is popular. There are going to be many that are going to follow those things that the crowd follows. Do you know what a lemming is? A lemming is a little furry animal, and I couldn't tell you in what part of the world they are, but they all run and jump off a cliff. I have no doubt that my father did not know what a lemming was. But when I asked him, I wanted to do something, and my answer as to why I wanted to do it is because everybody else was doing it. He said, if they jumped off a cliff, would you? Look what Jesus said, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the way. Or straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And notice this, and few there be that find it. We need to understand that popularity will not get us to heaven. It is popular today for many to please men in the name of religion. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, a single passage which will show us why it is not proper to be popular among men. Unless, of course, those men we are popular with are after the same thing. That is seeking to serve God. Galatians 1 and verse 10, as Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren here, under inspiration of the Spirit, he says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Popularity will fill a building. I have no doubt that we could make it so popular here as to have the need to expand the building. And we can do it in short order. All we have to do is start advertising to people. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just love the Lord. Doesn't matter what we teach. Just love the Lord. What a false hope. Some people believe what they do because it's popular. Some people believe what they do because of convenience. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. As you turn there, you might ask yourself, how is it convenient? Well, what if it's convenient to be here when you want to? Or to do what you want to? Or if you don't like certain things, then you're not here during those certain times. That is a religion of convenience. When Paul had opportunity, whether in bonds or not, he preached the gospel. And Felix had this opportunity to respond to the gospel. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. How so like people today? It's not convenient right now for me to serve God. The sad thing is that we have no record in the Bible that Felix ever obeyed the gospel. You think it'll be convenient for the Lord to open the gates of heaven to him? That's not the way it works for him. It's convenient to have a religion to allow you to do this or to do that or disregard the true teachings of the Bible. But you won't find it so convenient when you stand before God in judgment. What did the Lord say about those who did their service to be pleasing to men or to get praise of men? He said, verily, they have their reward. People believe what they do based on fairness. Believe it or not, in teaching someone the gospel plan of salvation, I had someone to look at me one time and said, that's not fair. I must admit, I had a hard time because I didn't know what to say. What can be more fair than the Word of God? What can be more just than the Word of God? What do I mean then when I say people believe what they do based on fairness? Mark 16, 15, and 16 is a passage that we all are familiar with, one that many of us can quote. When the Lord was here and talking, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, when I said that people believe what they do based on fairness, I want to amend that. People believe what they want to believe based on an improper understanding of fairness. There was a song several years ago by, I think it was the Oak Ridge Boys. And of course, as it started, they were contemplating standing before God. And they knew that they had not done the things that the Lord would have them do. And the person doing the singing said when he got to the point that the Lord looked at him with compassion and said, come on in, you did the best that you could do. Friends, there are countless thousands, even millions of people in the world today that think that God is going to cast his word aside on the day of judgment and say, you know what, I want to be fair. I want to give everybody a place in heaven. Well, he's already been fair. He sent his son to die on the cross. He gave us the opportunity. He's provided us with his word so that we might all have the same opportunity. You don't get any more fair than that. Again, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. How much fairer can you be? It doesn't get any fairer than that. People often today believe what they believe based on emotionalism. I get a charge out of services, people say. I really like it there. We get excited. I'm excited. I'm excited today. But I also understand that the Bible has said that things are to be done decently and in order. And if you're not excited about serving God, you better reevaluate. You better examine yourselves. It's important that we understand there's a reason for what we believe. We'll get to that here in a minute. But emotionalism is not the thing. Let's look back to the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11. We're going to use this passage again elsewhere in this sermon, so you might want to mark it. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went his way and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. What had occurred here? Well, first off, Naaman didn't like the instructions he received. How human is that? I don't like it that way. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The church is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. You have to have it God's way. And the same thing was true with Naaman. He wanted emotionalism. He wanted some great show of the power of God. The truth of the matter was, if he had just gone and done what God said immediately, without question, without doubting, he would have seen the great power of God. He would have known that there was a God in Israel. Today, people rely on emotionalism. I've seen people get more excited when other people get excited. I've seen people do things that they wouldn't do in a supermarket, and they do it in the name of religion. Emotionalism is not why we believe what we believe. People believe also what they do because of traditionalism. Now, I'm going to start getting a little closer to home here. Traditionalism. What is traditionalism? Well, that's the way we've always done it for 20 years. I thank God that when I found out what I had been doing for 20 years was wrong, I had the opportunity to make a change, to do something. I once heard someone explain it like this. If you were a squirrel and you were on a limb and it was breaking, it was falling. Don't you think you would be grateful? Or don't you think you would jump to that limb that was secure? I've heard people say, I was born in this religion, I'll die in this religion. Well, so as not to close off the lines of communication, I say in my head, you'll go to hell in that religion too. But then we try to reason with people. We need to understand that traditionalism is not a valid reason for believing what we do. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. We'll see that under the old law, under which Jesus Christ lived, that there were those then who were relying on traditionalism. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. You see what they had done? They had taken the law of God and they had perverted it, and then they have relied upon it as a traditional thing. And the word of the priest meant more than the true word of God. And they were causing people to follow them. Mark chapter 7, verses 8 and 9 talks again about traditionalism. Talking about washing, the ceremonial washings. He says, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. When we rely upon something and we say we've always done it that way, we need to be the first one to question and ask, why do we do it that way? Is there just one way to do things? In many cases, there is. Again, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about it. But first, let's talk about rationalism. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. We'll see that Naaman rationalized how he thought that God's will would be done. He rationalized. Notice the words that he used as we look at that passage again. Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought. He began to rationalize. I thought it was going to be this way. In those conversations that I was having this week, someone said to me, I was not happy with the Church of Christ. I was appalled. But I said in that telephone conversation, can you tell me what it is that made you unhappy? Well, it just wasn't what I was looking for. Well, what were you looking for? Well, I was looking for something different. All those vagaries, I could not pin this person down. And immediately that person said to me, I do not want to talk of this anymore. Thank you for calling. Click. That person has rationalized himself out of the Lord's church. What did Naaman say? Behold, I thought he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? What he didn't understand was it was not the washing per se. It was the washing how and where God said to wash. And to do it how many times? Seven times. Had he done it six times, he'd still be just as leprous. You can't rationalize and base your beliefs upon that. So then, what are we to use? You know, there are, believe it or not, and this is evidence of it today, some people who base what they believe based upon Bible authority. The right reason, the proper reason, based upon Bible authority. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. Is one passage that shows us the authority of Jesus Christ. We know what is occurring here. We're very familiar with this particular passage. We see, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. For those who might think that this was the baptism of Jesus Christ, it was not. Yes, he did. The Spirit descended like a dove upon him. And the words said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But at this particular point, in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, he added the words, "Hear ye him." Why? Because he has authority. Shortly after that, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then told them what to do. "Go ye into all the world." In Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, we'll see again the passage that will help us to understand the reason why we are to believe what we do. Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." How many are being destroyed from among God's people today? You know, it's bad enough when one that's already in the world, already a child of Satan, begins to say what's popular, begins to look for the convenience, to claim that religion is not fair, to look for emotionalism or traditionalism, or even use rationalism. Because the truth of the matter is, those who have not named the name of Christ and have been baptized for the remission of sins are lost already. But it is ever so sad when those who were the children of God, those who are our brethren, begin to use these things and convince themselves that they need to go elsewhere for salvation. "For no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, and that is Christ Jesus." We need to understand that we need to apply His Word. That's why we are to study it. That's why we are to learn it. That's why we are to do it. Why do we believe what we do? Hopefully it's based upon Bible authority. If it's not, we need to examine ourselves. There may be many other reasons why people believe what they do. We've only mentioned these few so that we might fully understand that people do believe things for different reasons. Of all the reasons given this morning, there's only one that will cause one to believe correctly. When we all believe based upon Bible authority, we can rest assured that we will believe as God would have us believe. We can rest assured that we will do the things, or at least be told the things to do, that God would have us do. As we truly believe, we act. As we truly believe, we act. In other words, we do those things which we believe. When we believe wrongly, we act wrongly. When we believe correctly, we act correctly. Now, does it make sense to believe one thing and do something else? It doesn't to me. If you believe something, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we believe it is wrong to speed because the law has posted the speed limit signs dictating how fast we should go, it does not make sense to rip and roar down the highways, does it? When we do that, we are disregarding the laws that are put here for our own safety. We shouldn't blame anybody else when we crack up, when we crash. Nor does it make sense to seek salvation based upon what we believe unless it is based upon Bible authority. What does the Bible say regarding salvation? What does the Bible say regarding the saving of a soul? What things does the Bible direct us to do as we seek to be saved? The first thing that it tells us is that we are to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us clearly, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." John 8:24 tells us that we are to believe. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Acts 2:38 tells us that we are to repent. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Romans 10:10 tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So far we have hear, believe, repent, confess. And then Mark 16:16 tells us that we must be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 tells us what to do after we have been baptized. Live faithfully unto death. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It is an extremely unfortunate thing, but occasionally a Christian will find himself in a situation in which he realizes that he has not been faithful. He ought to be thankful because he still has opportunity to make amends. How is that to occur? Through repentance and prayer, Acts chapter 8, verse 22. You now know the Bible authority for salvation. What is your situation? What do you believe? And why do you believe it? If it's based upon Bible authority, and you realize you have a need to become a child of God, or to reestablish that relationship between you and God that you have severed because of your sins, as we stand and sing the invitation song, 927, Won't You Come?